Hello everyone, I am Lewis Santa and I portray Tigger in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, and you are listening to 30 Screams or Less.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. It's directed by Rhys Franck Waterfield, written by Rhys Franck Waterfield, Matt Leslie, and A.A. Milne. It's starring Scott Chambers as Christopher Robin, Ryan Olivia as Winnie the Pooh, Louis Santer, our boy, as Tigger, Eddie McKenzie as Piglet, and Marcus Massey as Owl. Plot of this movie is not wanting to live in the shadows any longer, Winnie the Pooh, Piglet, Owl, and Tigger too take their fight to the town of Ashtown, leaving a bloody trail of death and mayhem in their wake. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. I'm just going to start off. Corey, this movie sucks.
Fuck this movie. I hate it.
It's bullshit. I hate it.
It stinks.
No, but...
Maybe you should edit that out because we don't believe any of that.
We don't believe a single word of our own bullshit because this movie was great. Like, hopefully people don't go, oh, that's the trailer right there. I'm going to take that and throw it up as a sample or whatever on the website. And then we're like, what fucking website? We need promotion. But let's go into our whole little spiel here. Corey, what did you think about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2?
Dude, I know that you and I have been looking forward to this movie for like, I mean, the first one only came out last year, but obviously we were waiting for the sequel because we loved the first one so much. But knowing that this one has a bigger budget and like we've been talking to Andrew Scott Bell and Louis Santer and they've been telling us things here and there about it. Dude, this movie lives up to the hype and then some. Fucking Rotten Tomatoes had it. It's gone down a little bit since yesterday, but it was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it deserves all the recognition it gets.
Oh, absolutely.
I know we had asked Lewis about why they changed the cast for Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh, and it's explained in this. It is such a cool explanation as to why this all happens. There was so much character building and story in the second one. Like, it was completely different. You could tell the budget was much larger. And I think they absolutely crushed this film. I know you and I couldn't stop talking about it after we saw it.
Yeah, this movie was leaps and bounds better than the first one. Hands down, it was awesome. I just did a quick look here on Rotten Tomatoes. Still certified fresh. Went down a little bit, but it's not surprising because a lot of horror movies don't get a lot of love when it comes to the critics, especially with such a fucking weird premise as Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Right now, tomato meter for critics, 63%, still certified fresh, and audience score, 83%. So what's more important, critics or audience? I say audience.
So I think, so with Rotten Tomatoes, like anyone can submit a review, and I think it's getting review bombed because people fucking hate this franchise for some reason.
Yeah, I think they're just like, our childhood, it's ruined.
My childhood's been ruined for a long time.
I know.
That's not true.
I know
true.
That I've told so many people about this film, and, you know, they turned our childhood loves into these horror creatures, and they're like, why would anyone do that? It's fucking terrible. And another cool thing is... at the beginning of this film, they explain the Pooniverse, which is basically their version of the Avengers. So we got to hear basically what it's going to be and see the first poster and see the first clip of Bambi, The Reckoning.
Oh my God.
So the first movie in this Pooniverse is a fucking Bambi movie. So we're going to get a zombie deer.
Yeah. So it's not exactly Bambi per se. Well, it is Bambi, right? They're using the likeness of Bambi, but Bambi apparently is a zombie. Some shit went down. I think it's like has to do with chemicals, something like that, right?
Yeah, we got to see her flip a car, and there was a brief introduction from the director of the film, too, that kind of talked about what he's going for with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did we get to see that, we got to hear about Pinocchio. Yep. They're doing Pinocchio. I forget what the tagline was, but they said that like Pinocchio is going to have a lot, like obviously the long nose that he's going to use as a weapon, but he said one of the kills in the movie was Pinocchio skinning someone and wearing their flesh so he could pretend to be a real boy.
Oh, he's a real life boy.
And apparently Tinkerbell's in it too, and she thinks pixie dust is meth.
I think heroin? I don't know.
Heroin, that's what it was.
Yeah, heroin, okay. This is going to be absolutely absurd. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to have a Winnie the Pooh mask for my collection, like one of the characters from the movie.
Well, Lewis said something about the Tigger mask being taken away, and he signed it, and maybe it's going up for auction. Maybe they're going to do the same thing with the Winnie the Pooh mask.
I'm going to need to buy that mask. I'm going to spend all the money we make on this podcast on that mask.
You're better off getting a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Fuck.
Sorry, bud.
We're going to have to increase our prices on our merch that people are not buying anyway.
Yeah, people. Well, we got to push it harder. I think we need some new stuff up there. I don't think the jean jacket is working. I think that's a little bit adventurous. But yeah, we need to push merch harder. Everyone, buy merch. We got shirts, hats, mugs, all sorts of stuff. 30screamsless.com. Go up to the shop, buy something. So that way we can put it towards me getting a Winnie the Pooh mask.
We'll both get Winnie the Pooh masks.
Yeah, there we
go. We'll run around New England dressed as these characters.
Yeah, and they'll just go, oh, bother. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
You did this.
You left.
But yeah, this film was fucking batshit from the very first scene.
Mm-hmm. This opening scene. Well, first of all, we start off with the same kind of deal as the first one with the hand-drawn animation, stuff like that, which I...
Oh, yeah, with the narration. I loved, like, they're reading the story, basically.
Yes. Yeah, which I thought was great. I liked it the first time around. I liked it this time around. This time they went a little bit more into the lore of like what happened after the massacre in the woods.
I hope they keep that up with the rest of the movies in the universe with the narration in the beginning, because obviously they're all based on storybooks.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm surprised that they're able to do this. I know like all these stories were basically stories before Disney got their hands on them. I think they're all maybe just going public domain or somehow... I have no idea. Maybe they're getting the rights to these things. And Disney's like, fuck, okay. Which I doubt, but good on them for having this whole Pooniverse. Go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
I love the name and I don't at the same time because it kind of sounds like a porno. But yeah, that's great. Pooniverse.
It's a bit tongue in cheek, right? It's kind of that deal. It's fun. It's a fun thing. It's going to be a fun thing. I think, obviously, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, that's a whole different beast. All these other ones, I think they're going to be fun to watch. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 is like your Iron Man, right? Starts off the whole Pooniverse. And then everything else is like your Black Panther. And then, actually, well, we're basically going to get an Avengers-type style, I bet, at some point. And Christopher Robin is going to be fucked.
So, speaking of, like, the Avengers universe... So obviously Captain America, like you said, was first, but is there going to be a point in the Pooniverse where there's going to be, we can watch these in like chronological order as far as when they take place in real time?
That's a good question.
Not just when they came out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that might have to be a question for Reese because it makes sense. Like there has to be some sort of chronological order similar to that of the MCU. So we got to find a way of see if we can be watched like that. And I'm sure they have that in the pipeline. I'm sure they're like, they're already thinking about it. It's probably already implemented for all we know.
So I think that Bambi might come first in the timeline simply because in this movie, we see that newspaper article that said something about a zombie deer.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. There was.
So,
yeah. Why don't you go into that little scene? Well, that's a little bit further into the movie. We can kind of
we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. So we start off with the animations, which is great. They were talking about for the story is that the massacre happened. No one believed Christopher Robin. They all thought he did it and that he's the murderer and all this stuff. And he got away scot-free. So he's basically ostracized from the town. Everyone hates him. Same with Pooh. Pooh is basically ostracized from the town as well. So they're both kind of in the same boat. Obviously, Pooh is a little psychotic and, you know, Christopher Robin is not. So the townspeople, they fucking laid waste to the forest trying to find Winnie the Pooh and the whole gang, and they couldn't find them. So they're starting to not believe Christopher Robin for this, because Christopher Robin was obviously adamant, saying they did this and I was just there. Type deal.
Yeah.
But
because it sounds ridiculous, you know, like it just sounds like a made up story.
Absolutely. Yeah. It sounds absolutely made up. But we got a lot to talk about. Let's jump a little bit further into it. Now we're at this camper scene where these girls are trying to conjure shit with a Ouija board again. Like, people just need to realize, don't fuck with that shit. It's not good. It's a bad idea. But it didn't even do them any harm. The Ouija board had nothing to do with them getting fucked up. Winnie the Pooh jumps on top of the friggin' camper and starts raising. So actually, wait. No, that might have been Owl jumping up on top of the camper.
Yeah, so Owl was on the top, and then we see Pooh like walking across the windows along the side of the camper for the first time.
Yes, and then Winnie the Pooh jams like this rod metal thing through the camper, through one of the girls. The other girls, they're in there. There's three in total. One of them goes out the window because at this point, Winnie the Pooh is fucking taking the camper and lifting it up like he's Braun Strowman and flips the thing over.
Nice comparison there.
Thanks. I thought so too.
Who else did that? Was it who flipped the ambulance? Was it Big Show?
It might have been Big Show or Mark Henry.
Because I know Braun Strowman's flipped a car. Mark Henry. Mark, sounds right.
Yeah, like any of the three. They all did shit like that. So it could be wrong, could be right. I don't really remember. I'm sure Shining Wizards would definitely be like, oh, no, it was him. They'd be able to tell us.
Oh, yeah.
So all fucking hell is breaking loose right now. And not to mention the cinematography on this, infinitely better than the first.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, man, you could tell. Like, they got the, what do they say? Like, the ball bearings were greased for this one?
Yeah, yeah.
Not only did they have the budget, but everything just looked so much better. Like, Reese just learned so much from the first one. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they really crushed this with just the way everything looked.
Yeah, I don't think there was really any mistakes like in the first one. I mean, you learn from your experiences. And like, that's the whole point of like doing things, is you learn from them. So put out the first movie. I think I was a little bit harsher on it. I think I gave it like a 3 out of 5 or something like that, as opposed to like a, you know, you loved it. I was like, yeah, it was good. But this one, I fucking love. This one is everything that I was maybe not a fan of in the first one. They fucking just completely went back to the drawing board on this. And it was great. But yeah, let's go back into the carnage, because this is absolute carnage. So there's one girl still in the camper. She's getting lit up, man, on fire. And Winnie the Pooh is chasing this one girl who manages to get away in like a fucking go-kart thing. And he grabs her and the camper blows up behind him. And it's so damn cool looking. It shows absolute chaos.
I love this next part because I could see you shaking through the corner of my eye.
Oh, God, I didn't like it. So this is the first time that Corey and I have actually gone to the movies together, and I'm sitting there plowing through popcorn, and I see Winnie the Pooh grab the girl's arm. I'm like, oh, God, I have an idea. I can already sense what's happening here. So he proceeds to break all of her limbs, and I'm like, bones, right? That's like the top three.
Yep.
Bones, eyes, teeth. But I'm watching this girl's, all of her limbs get broken, and then her head proceeded to be put into a bear trap. And then
I love that that was his like weapon of choice for this movie, because he basically carries it, he drags it around with him wherever he goes.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's fucking great. So it was definitely overkill, but hell yeah, all right. Then there was like the girl that was still in the camper, the thing was on fire. She was on fire. She looked like fucking, I don't know, burnt piece of toast at this point. So she's crawling.
Yeah, she had no flesh left.
No, there was like nothing left. And then Owl destroys her head and just turns it into complete mush.
He smushed it with like a, what was it, a tree?
Yeah, something like that. There were some parts where like the theater that we were in, I noticed that there were some issues with the screen. I don't know if you saw a bunch of dots all over it.
The fucking blue dots, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was.
It was like dead pixels almost, but
how do you have dead pixels on a screen?
I don't know.
That's what it looked like, though. So this fucking place, looked like, for some reason, dead pixels. I don't know. It was weird. And some of the stuff I had a hard time seeing because, like, the dark. But I think that's more on me as opposed to the quality of the film. But yeah.
No, it wasn't, because it was for me, too.
Oh, it was for you, too? Okay.
Well, yeah. And it was distracting.
Yes, that's true. Oh, those fucking things were definitely distracting. I was trying to tune them out as best as I could. But, you know, when you're watching TV and you have a dead pixel, what do you focus on the whole time? The fucking
That's exactly why I have trouble with subtitles, because that's all I'm looking at. I'm not looking at what's going on the screen.
Yep, exactly. I do it myself. I have them on now all the time. I just got so used to it. And honestly, there's no point for me to have them on. Like, I can hear perfect. Well, I can hear good to an extent. Otherwise, I'm pretty fucking deaf.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, for the most part. Especially with movies with, like, accents and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I can't pick up on accents anymore.
Yeah, there was one girl in this movie that I couldn't understand a fucking word she was saying. Her accent was thick. And it was the girl who was setting up the rave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she had a very thick accent. So, yeah, we're done the carnage. Now we're starting to see Christopher Robin, which is a different Christopher Robin than the first one, but there's a reason for that, and it's actually a very good reason. So we see Christopher Robin, he's coming out of a hypnosis, and he's talking to the psychologist. And you can tell that these actors, like, these are full-blown, fleshed-out actors who have been doing it for a while, because there is just a different vibe with them. When you're hearing the psychologist talk, right, she sounds like just commanding as, like, an actor or actress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
the acting in this, definitely next level.
Yeah, that therapist was convincing, too, especially the way that they shot it. They just zoomed in on her face, mm-hmm. and she, I don't know, the tone of her voice, her inflection, it was just absolutely perfect.
Yeah, a lot of actors and actresses in this movie had that kind of feel, too. The guy that, well, we'll get to it, but the guy later on that Christopher confronts,
Cavendish?
Yes. He commanding presence as well. And he was only on screen for, like, not long, but he was.
So, yeah, like you said, we'll get to it. But that 5 or 10 minutes that he was on screen, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Great, great, great acting there.
Oh, absolutely. I think across the board, everyone was firing on all cylinders. I thought everyone was great.
So you mentioned how the recast, mm-hmm. were we talking about that?
Yeah.
I thought the way that they explained this was super creative, very, very Scream-esque, mm-hmm. I think, because they sort of did the same thing with Scream.
They absolutely did with Stab and Scream.
But they didn't hide that. You know what I mean? Like, that was a thing in the very first movie.
Right, right.
This one, they make you watch the first movie. Then when the second movie comes out, we find out that the first movie was basically a biography on Christopher Robin's life.
Exactly. Just like a retelling, like almost like a made-for-TV movie.
Yep. And this is why everybody hates him.
Yeah, exactly. It shows, like, the whole thing, why everyone hates Christopher Robin, and they think he did this, and, like, it's basically going off the story that he told to, like, the police and the townsfolk and everything like that. So, yes, they basically made a reenactment of the whole situation, turned it into a movie, and then later on, we see it actually on TV, which is kind of cool. Okay, so we meet Christopher Robin's friend, Lexi, supposed to be a love interest, best friend. I think just love interest. That's what I think. I think it's just like they haven't fleshed that shit out, but we all know it's.
I was kind of confused about it at first because I thought it might be his sister.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like, I kind of thought that later, at first, too.
Yeah, later on, they kind of, they have a thing for each other.
They clearly do, and we'll probably see that in the Pooniverse.
Pooniverse. Yeah, we will.
Yeah, yeah, we will.
Yeah.
So we meet her, and then we meet his other friend who Christopher Robin goes back to his house. His friend is there. The father is cleaning off the car because someone spray painted on the car. Now, the whole town folk hate Christopher Robin. They basically, like, wrote him off. They just think that he's crazy. He committed all these murders and he got away with it.
Yeah, and that's what they wrote. They wrote murderer on the side of the car.
Thank you. I couldn't read what it said, so thank you for that. But yeah, okay, so they wrote murderer on the side of the car. So yeah, everyone thinks that he's a murderer. So he's got his close group of friends, Lexi, the friend number one. I can't remember his name, but he's going to die anyways. And then
doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And then, like, his family. And that's basically it. Everyone else is just collateral later on. Everyone gets annihilated, man. Oh, my God.
It's funny you say that because it literally, like, anyone that's not, you know, the four main characters and Christopher Robin and Lexi and what's her name? The little girl.
Yeah.
They all die.
Yep. Bunny. Yeah. Bunny doesn't die.
Yeah.
She doesn't die, but everyone dies.
Yep.
You should see the credits killed me because the
Ravers.
There was like 100 Ravers. It would just say Raver. It wouldn't even say Raver 1, 2, 3, nothing like that. Just Raver all the way down and just scrolling for a while. And they actually listed all the Ravers' names, like the actors.
Yeah, every single one of them got credit.
Good for them. Good for them. And I couldn't tell who was who, naturally, but. You know, they were a raver in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. They can throw that on their IMDb. So, good for them. So, yeah, we see a foreshadowing. We see the mother open up the dishwasher. And, oh my God.
This is another part where I was like, oh, yeah, Steve's going to love this.
I already saw it fucking coming from a mile away. I'm like, oh, God, I already know what's going to happen. Someone's face is going to get put in it, isn't it? Yep.
But I want to know who the hell washes their knives that way in the dishwasher. Who puts it in the silverware part of a dishwasher facing up?
Maniacs. Also, you're not supposed to use the dishwasher for those kind of knives. Those are supposed to be hand washed.
It dulls them out, right?
Exactly. It dulls them out. So they don't know cutlery, apparently. They got to fucking figure that shit out.
Oh, yeah. But we got more eye stuff here. And I loved it. I definitely glanced over at you for a second and you were cringing.
I was cringing. I was absolutely cringing, man. Eye stuff.
I love when something triggers you so much. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, because I fucking go off the hinge, man. Like, damn it. Like
I love it so much.
Like I said, eyes, teeth, nails. And we have, there's another one that's been unlocked, but we'll talk about it next week.
So basically this old dishwasher scene, like I was saying, there's like these butcher knives that are, for whatever reason, facing straight up in the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And Pooh just comes in, grabs a mother by the back of the head, pushes her head down into the knives. One of them goes straight through her eyeball.
Yeah, goes through one eyeball. And then he's like, oh, well, I have to finish the job and go through the other eyeball. So both eyes, knives going straight through. Oh, my God.
It looked so good, though.
It really did.
The practical effects were amazing in this film.
Yeah, I think there was very little CGI. There was some good CGI, though, that's for sure.
So the only CGI that I actually really noticed was the tail.
Yes.
Tigger's tail. And Lewis told us that it was CGI.
Yeah, it looked really good. But I'm glad they went that approach to have like that fluid movement of the tail. Because let's say he actually had on a tail on the suit. The thing would either flop around on the ground or where they would have to hold the thing up with God knows what. Right. So it would have looked weird.
Put a spring in it.
Oh, they could have put a spring in it. But that would have looked funny, man. You know, having a spring coming out of like the backside of Lewis Santer.
That was a joke because that actually was made up. Remember?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, maybe if they did something with the costume, like the same material that, like, say, a pipe cleaner is made out of, like that wire on the inside mm-hmm. to keep it from flopping around. Yeah. I don't know. I guess the CGI gave a more control over what it did, but there were scenes where you could tell. And that's not a knock at all. I'm just saying you could tell that it was there.
Yeah, I think it did allow for more control with the CGI because if they wanted to make adjustments to the tail to do whatever, they could go back, make some quick edits and figure that shit out. So I think it was the right approach for that. So absolute chaos in this movie. I think we're already skipping ahead because we've already talked almost a half hour on this thing already. And we've barely touched the surface. We could do an hour on this. Easy.
Yeah. This is how you can tell we really like a movie when we're a half hour in and we're not even like in the middle of the film yet.
We jump forward to half the movie on some of these parts because like we only really did, I think, a quarter of the movie. Like the part up to the foreshadowing of the knives sticking out, that's like the eighth of the movie in. There's so much for us to talk about with this movie, but we might as well jump into like the nitty gritty of it.
Yeah, we got to leave some to the imagination
exactly.
for the people that go see it.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil it for everyone, even though we do have, you know, a spoiler alert at the beginning. People, you have to go to the theaters to see this because we had quite quite the crowd with us.
So the problem is it's only in theaters for 3 days.
Oh.
By the time this comes out, it'll be out of theaters.
Shit, you're right. Well, maybe a Terrifier thing will happen.
Yeah, I hope so. I really can't wait to watch this again. If I have to watch it at home, whatever. But I'm glad I got to see it on the big screen because it definitely adds to the whole experience.
Absolutely. You know, you have the surround sound and everything going like that. The squelchings were so loud. It's a good movie to see in theaters. I highly recommend seeing it in theaters. If it comes back out in theaters, which I'm hoping for it, I'll put it out there with my prophecies. Yeah. I'll put it out there and maybe it'll come back out into theaters and people will get to see it. And then it'll do like a Terrifier thing where it was only in theaters a few days and then it came back for like a couple weeks.
Or like the 3-day theatrical release is so big and they just realize how much of a following this really has that they'll give it an extended stay in theaters.
Yeah.
Like Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about...
I couldn't think of anything else.
We're talking... You couldn't think
Oppenheimer was in theaters for like a fucking year before it came out on streaming.
Oh, no. Well, Barbie, too. Barbie was in theaters for like 6 months before they're like, okay, we've drained the cow. We have to put it on streaming.
Yeah, but at least Barbie was entertaining.
Yeah, Barbie was very entertaining.
But yeah, I'm hoping this short stay it has in theaters lets the, you know, the people upstairs that make all these fucking decisions on how long movies get to stay in theaters, like there's a following for this type of stuff.
There is.
They should be in theaters.
It absolutely should be in theaters a little bit longer. Same with Late Night with the Devil. I think it's doing so well that it's in theaters a little bit longer than initially expected.
I don't even know if it's showing around here.
I think it is, actually. Look it up.
Probably the same theater we went to.
Actually, wouldn't be...
Stand by. I'm going to look it up.
You're going to look it up. Okay.
So the closest to us would be Tingsboro, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's close.
You want to go? It starts in a minute.
We have a podcast to do, buddy.
Okay, fine.
If I have some time this week, I'd fucking go. Because it looks like it's... Maybe. Yeah, it looks like it's in theaters the rest of the week. Yeah, it looks like that's doing really well. It made $666,666 at so far, gross. So,
wow.
Yeah. What are the odds of that?
I think it's the number of the beast.
The number of the beast. Oh, bother.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm not even going to talk about it. You just listen to me do that, and then you're going to fucking pop like I almost did. I almost flipped chairs over, and people in there would have been like, what the fuck, man? But, yeah, there were actually people in there with us. I was fully expecting to go in there, and it would just be like Corey and myself, and we had command of the whole entire room. But
so
no.
I agree. I thought it was going to be maybe us and maybe one or two other people, but I counted... What were there, like 10 or 15 people in there?
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind for listeners that the theater we saw it in is very small. So this is actually a lot of people.
Yeah. It's a good portion of the room to like for there to be people in there. So it was I was pleasantly surprised.
There were two very like older guys in there, too, that I was kind of surprised to see.
Yeah.
Like they weren't our age. They weren't even close.
No, they were easy 20 years on us.
Mm-hmm.
Like 60s,
but it 70s. Was good to see. It was good to see that you've got, you know, the older generation and they're kind of watching a film like this and they probably grew up on this shit just like we did. They just look a little bit older.
Yeah, they probably love horror movies.
They kind of look your age.
What the fuck, man? I'm not that old.
Couple less grays,
right. Exactly. So, yeah, they were definitely more older people in there than us. So I don't know if they went in and they're thinking this is an actual Winnie the Pooh movie, but who knows?
Well,
maybe they could...
Wasn't one of them wearing a Winnie the Pooh shirt?
He was wearing a regular Winnie the Pooh shirt. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, I hope he doesn't think it's a regular Winnie the Pooh movie.
He doesn't know what he's about to get himself into.
Oh, my God. It says Blood and Honey in the title. He's probably just like, oh, Winnie the Pooh, and goes in and probably not expecting that carnage to happen. But it was reassuring to see people in there. And not to mention, I love this part because it benefited me so well. When I walked in, Corey, and I fucking scored like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, bastard.
I walk in, I'm wearing my Terrifier 2 hat, and I've got my Spooky Empire shirt on, so I'm repping some Terrifier stuff. And one of the people behind the concessions, they're like, oh, hey, wait a second. I'm like, okay. And they come back with a Terrifier 3 poster. I'm like, you've got to be shitting me. And they're like, oh, yeah, you can have it. I'm like, okay, fuck yeah. So, Corey, you're pissed at this point.
I'm shaking my head right now. Because I had to fucking pay for that poster on eBay.
So not only that, this is ridiculous too. And I'm like, I have to ask, do you have the Ghostbusters popcorn bowls? And they're like, let me see. I'm like, no fucking way. They come out. with a Ghostbusters trap popcorn bowl. I'm like, holy shit, today's my day. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, he was like, this is the last one. I'm like, motherfucker, how did Steve just luck out twice? I legit walked into that same theater in, I think it was November when I saw the rescreening of Terrifier 2, and I walked up that same counter. Do you have the Terrifier 3 posters? And they said, nah, fuck off. Fucking Steve.
Only me.
Yeah.
It's my karma, man.
I'm glad you got it done.
I'm glad too.
Now you can bring it with you when we go to Silver Scream Con in November or September, and hopefully have Damien sign it. Yep. Because I plan on doing that with mine that I paid for.
So actually, I just framed it today.
Mine is also framed.
Yeah, I didn't want to fuck around having that thing just kind of out, you know. So I found a 11 by 17 framed poster. I was like, you know what, this doesn't need to be framed. This is heavier cards suck. So I just switched it out, and right now I haven't hung it up yet because I'm still setting up things in my apartment, but it'll be up somewhere.
Yeah, it'll look great.
Yeah, it's gonna look awesome. There's some other Terrifier stuff that I have too that I can't wait to put that up because I got some really cool art from some horror conventions. So you'll see that.
You need a Winnie the Pooh mask for your living room too.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do.
Oh, boy. Reese, if you have extras, can you send them our way, please?
We'll buy them. We don't mind paying, but free would be better.
Yeah, I don't even want it for free. I just want it for my collection. I'll pay whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Corey will pay. I will beg. Corey's got a little bit more disposable income than I do.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. You can afford, like, a cheeseburger. I can afford a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
What the hell's wrong with a peanut butter jelly sandwich?
Nothing. It's just cheaper.
Good point.
Yeah. I don't think I want to give much away of this film. I just want to say, though, that towards the end, pure and utter chaos. There is so much blood. There's so much death and destruction. It's over the top. It's just violent beyond violent. It's great. Everyone, so, I highly recommend, if it's in theaters, if it's magically in theaters by the time you're listening to this episode, go check it out. Just go on Phantom Events, right?
Whatever. But no, we got to talk about Tigger, man. We got to talk about our boy Lewis.
We have to talk. Okay, we have to talk about our boy Lewis and Tigger because
I loved so much how they tease his character. Like, they kept him in the basement of the tree. The tree, you know, because they live in the tree in the cartoons. They did the same thing in this, which I love the continuity there. But in their little lair there, they had Tigger. He was locked away. Like, they had him in prison because Tigger's a fucking lunatic in this movie.
Yep, he really is.
And then eventually he gets out of his cage there. And a bunch of the, like, Christopher Robin and Lexi and those characters, I don't know if Christopher Robin was at the rave, but they go to a rave and Tigger gets set loose in the rave.
Oh, my God.
And one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie, and this is probably what Lewis was talking about with all the blood, was when he had that girl on, like, a walkway above him, and he just stabbed her in the chest like 80 times.
Oh yeah, blood is pouring all over our boy Lewis. I think that's what he was talking about, where he had, like, blood all over him. It had to have been that scene.
It had to be, because he was talking about how it was in his mouth and everything, and that was all of that shit. He was eating fucking syrup or whatever it was that they used.
It was definitely raining blood, for sure.
Raining blood.
Ba-dunch. So, yeah, pure carnage.
Slayer reference.
Yeah, no, I haven't dropped the Slayer reference ever on this podcast. I might have, actually.
But, yeah, Tigger was great. I loved the fact that we talked about this at dinner, how it was very, I think, Freddy Krueger influenced.
So much
where
bitch.
He threw in bitch at the bitch. End of thing. Everything he said,
everything bitch.
Bitch. So at one point he pokes this girl's eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just torturing her by watching her crawl. And he's just walking behind her. And he goes, watch where you're going, bitch. And then she falls into a hole in the ground.
Yeah, actually, I kind of cringed at that part. I don't know if you saw me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because when she hit the ground, you heard everything break.
Yeah, and, like, you saw the neck break and everything. I'm like, oh, shit. Because it was just so daunting.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I hope we get a lot more, and I'm sure we will, in the third movie.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a lot. Yeah, Tigger, our boy Lewis, man, you fucking killed it. You were psychotic in it, just annihilating people. Like, they fucked up letting him go. The reason why they let him go is because the cops decided they were going to try to raid the tree, right, where they all lived. And they entered a room that was locked off, and that's where Tigger was. And they fucked up. They let him loose.
And he clipped all of them.
Yeah, my favorite part of that, I have to say this, though. I think we should bounce. That's my line.
That's my line, bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah, just.
That's my line, bitch.
Like, whoa, okay.
So awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah, Lewis killed it. Everyone killed it.
I loved how, so Winnie the Pooh, for example, they made him so fucking menacing. Like, at scenes where they show him, like, slowly marching through the forest, and I think Andrew Scott Bell's score, they used it just, it was expert, because when he's walking through the forest and you hear Andrew's music playing, mm-hmm. like, Winnie the Pooh is so terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's slowly walking. He's doing the Jason Voorhees thing. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought the music was, like, the music was great in the first one. We've talked about this, but I feel like they just used it so much better in the second film.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by any means. You know, Andrew Scott Bell, super talented. So when I heard he was on for the second one, which we already fucking knew. We knew it was coming. He wasn't fooling us. He was like trying to be all cloak and dagger about it, but we're like, no, we know you're going to be back.
I think it was more so like a contractual thing, but like,
yeah,
we knew.
We, of course we knew. He didn't tell us off the record or anything, but we're just like, we're not dumb-ish. So we just knew. But he killed it. Soundtrack was fantastic. I've been wanting to listen to it, but I haven't had a chance to just sit and work and listen to it. Like, you know, while I'm doing my thing, it's just been too crazy.
I've been listening to it at my desk at work, actually, the past couple days. And I was talking to Andrew the other day, and I told him there's like one particular song in the beginning that makes me want to do the Kool-Aid Man thing all over again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just fucking run through a wall.
Oh, yeah, I do that for Knock Loose.
It's the same idea.
Cool. Yeah, Knock Loose, I actually want to flip one of my three desks that I have in my apartment. I don't know why I have so many.
Three
desks.
That's a bit much, Steve.
I know. Well, I've got two standing ones, ones that raise up, and then there's another that just sits there and does nothing really. Right now, it's being used for my alcohol station.
That's a good use for
it. I think so. Yeah, it's fine. I also have my humidifier on it, so it works. It's fine for now.
So you have a humidifier, which keeps you like moist,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then you're drinking, which takes the liquid out of your body.
Yeah.
All right. Science.
Yep, exactly. Science. So let's not talk more about it. We don't want to spoil it for people. It just dropped, so we don't want to like give away too much.
Yeah, we, for our listeners, we have like 3 pages worth of notes, but we're not going to do this. We're just going to.
Corey, I don't know how you pulled that off. I sat there and like closed my fucking eyes and like, okay, what happened next? All right, yes. And I started fucking just, yes. I have like 3 pages of notes here that I typed out because Corey's like, I don't know if I can write any notes. I may not be able to remember it. I'm like, all right, say no more, fam.
Like when we watch movies, I like to take notes as we're watching it, but I can't do that in the movie theater and my memory is shit. So this one was all up to Steve.
Yep. My memory's not that great either. So I'm a little surprised I was able to pull this off and just have something we can go off of. I mean, we could have just sat here and just raved about it anyways, which we did, and just say things that we do remember because this thing's obviously we remember, but I have a play-by-play here, basically. But we're not going to talk about it because we don't want to give away too much.
Nope. Go see it. Let's wrap it
up. Yeah, just go see it. Wrap it up. Corey, what do you give Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey to?
I mean, if this wasn't obvious enough, it gets out of 5 out of 5 dead kids for me. Easy. Mm-hmm. I love the first movie so much. You know, it's near and dear to my heart, the subject matter. But this one is just takes it to a whole nother level. Reese and Scott and everyone involved in this absolutely knocked it out of the park. And I really hope that this puts them on the map and they're not considered an indie film anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is a fucking Halloween blockbuster moving forward.
Yeah, this could be considered a blockbuster based on how it looked. I would put this up against any of the newer Halloween movies that came out. Like quality wise, it's on the level. It's very good. So same thing. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. I thought this thing was great. I can't think of anything that I didn't like about it. The actors that they chose for these roles, fantastic. Especially Owl. The guy was commanding. Absolutely commanding. Like his voice is just so huge sounding.
It is. And I think Lewis told us as well that they do modify the voices a little bit with computers, but I mean, they still got to put in the work to get the voice at least close to where they want it before they can modify it. So
absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, that was Marcus Massey. His voice seemed huge. The makeup and masks in this movie were so much better. I loved them. This is my favorite part though. The part where they showed the original movie on TV as basically a retelling of the massacre, which does the whole Scream stab deal. And I thought that was great. I thought that was a perfect, perfect way of telling, of basically like, okay, we made this movie, but this is the movie we really wanted to make. right? That's mm-hmm. what I think this was. This is the movie they really wanted to make. The one before it was maybe testing the waters, or just maybe it was intentional. Maybe we'll have to ask Reese, like, hey, was this intentional? Did you want to put out a movie that looked like that in preparation for this? Because if he did, bravo. Well played. Because this is killing it on Rotten Tomatoes right now. It's doing very well. It's actually far exceeding the reviews it was getting on the first one. Right now, it's sitting at Certified Fresh and in the 80s for audience reviews. So it's pretty good. And like, I can't rave enough about it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I honestly didn't. There's nothing I can say negative about it. It lived up to the expectations. And like, I can't remember the last time that I was knowingly going to watch a film and I was that excited to watch it as I was as this one.
Yeah, I was pretty excited to watch it too.
I thought it was cool too that we got to see the first movie that we've done on this podcast in the movies together.
Everyone, if you see it in theaters around your area, like if it is, definitely check it out. We highly recommend it. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.